and passionately, or you, my friend, are worshiping something or someone else. And so how do you know? How do you know what you are truly worshiping from your heart today? Well, Luke chapter 12, in verse 34, Jesus made it very clear. He said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know what? The thing that you spend the most time on, the thing that you spend the most money on, the thing that dominates the most of your time and focus and attention, that's what you're worshiping. That's it. Now, you let the Holy Spirit search your heart today. What is it for you? Now, don't answer me out loud. What is it for you? What is it that's dominating the worship of your heart? To simplify your worship, what we're going to demonstrate from the scriptures today is that you must annihilate all of your other passions so that Jesus alone becomes the supreme passion of your heart. Are you listening to me? If you're going to simplify your worship, what that means is you're going to have to annihilate all your other passions that are taking the place of Christ in your heart so that you can passionately worship Jesus with all of your heart and with all of your strength and with all of your might, as the Bible tells us we're supposed to do. Everything you do must be to glorify Christ. Every action that you involve yourself in must be an act of worship to the Lord. That's why 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all, everything to the glory of God." That's what the scriptures is calling us to do. Piper said that true worship is valuing or treasuring of God above all other things. That's what true worship is. I value God more than anything else. I value God above everything else. And so, going back to our illustration here, I haven't forgotten about you guys yet, okay? If you are going to simplify your worship, this will mean that you have to take some time in your life to evaluate what your passions are. And it may mean for some things, because maybe they aren't necessarily sinful things. There may be some sinful things you're passionate about. And friend, you better believe you got to smash those things out of your life. I didn't get enough amens there. No. Those things need to be gone right now. There might be some other things that aren't necessarily bad things, but boy, they're passions that you just can't keep from allowing them to steal your affection that belongs to God. Those are equally sinful, by the way, to alcohol or pornography or anything else we might put on the sinful scale. They steal your affection from God. They absolutely need to be annihilated. They need to be gone. All right? So, if the TV, all right, is something, some of you know in the morning when you wake up, you turn that TV on and then you try to read your Bible. You don't read your Bible. You look at the TV. It's becoming an idol in your life. Now, what's more important, God or this dumb TV? Now, there has been a time in my life where this was an idol in my life, and I had to get rid of this thing out of my life. But friend, I'm talking about, now you go ahead and smash that thing, because it won't be any good if we don't finish the illustration. I want you to annihilate that thing. Get that wrong passion out of your life. You can let your husband do it for you if you really want to. His annihilator was broken. You say, "Why do you do these kinds of things, preacher?" Because you won't forget it now, okay? You need to take the sword of the Spirit. You need to take God's working in your heart and go get some of these bad passions out of your life so you can focus on the Lord. Now listen, our instrument is broken here, all right? Let's just finish the illustration now, all right? Now, for some of us here, right, we're not going to take the annihilating sword. The Lord is never going to ask us to annihilate some passions from our life, right? So, Therese, I was going to ask you to take this to your husband, but you know what? That would be really interesting. No, the truth of the matter is, there are some passions in our life that we can't annihilate. They need to stay in our life. They're important. What are we supposed to do with those passions? Well, we don't annihilate those passions, but what we do to those things, guess what? We lay them down on the altar. Now, I guarantee we'll have full altars this morning if I leave that there, all right? All right? We need to lay some of these passions on the altar. Some of you might be consumed with your job or with keeping a clean house, or you might be passionate about some of these things, and not all these things are necessarily bad, but hey, if they're taking the place of God, you need to be willing to make these passions subservient to Jesus Christ, and so that as you pursue those passions, you're doing them for God's glory. Does that make sense? That's what needs to happen. Now, some of the passions do need to be annihilated, all right? Broken TV, for example. Well, you kind of cracked the screen a little bit there, all right? All right? But some of them need to be laid on the altar for the Lord. You guys can go have a seat. Thank you for helping me out this morning. Give them a hand for me, if you would. The point is, you need to take everything that's trying to exalt itself above Christ in your life and either get rid of it or lay it on the altar and give it to God. And so that you do it for the glory of God. You do it as an act of worship to God. This is how the scripture puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. This is in your notes. Look at this with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. I have to turn over there myself. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We want to cast down everything that tries to exalt itself above Christ in our life and make it subservient to this knowledge of Christ and this purpose of Christ. Everything in our life, is every passion, everything that we're passionate about in our hearts, to keep it from becoming something that is an idol in our life, we have to turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. By the way, if there's a passion in your life you can't honestly do for the Lord, it needs to go. You can't do it for the Lord, you shouldn't be doing it. Because your whole life is supposed to be about Christ. Your whole life is supposed to be an act of worship to Christ. And so everything you do, your job, your marriage, your parenting, your hobbies, everything that you do should be towards and done as an act of worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that was introduction, okay? I have good news. The rest of the sermon is not as long, okay? But now I want you to turn your attention to our primary text for today, which is Luke chapter 10. Let's begin reading a story that will help bring this home for us today. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. And now I got to turn back over there. Luke 10 and verse number 38. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Can you read that first phrase of verse number 42 with me? Let's read it together. "But one thing is needful." Last week, we learned from Paul when he said, "This one thing I do." Here, Jesus told Martha, "One thing is needful." That's it. God has given us a passion that if we devote ourselves to it and pursue it with all of our hearts, through it, we can fulfill every other passion that God has placed into our life. One thing is needful. I want to focus on that truth for just a little while here today, and with the remainder of the time we have left here today, I want you to consider where your worship is toward the Lord today. Are there any types of passions in your life that are taking the place of God that need to be annihilated or laid on the altar so that you can truly live a life of worship to the Lord? I want you to dwell on that with me as we look at this passage of Scripture, this story from the Scripture. Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Our Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I'm so burdened and moved by this passage of Scripture, and I pray, God, that you would just help me to convey it in a way that will ring true for the people that are in this room. And Lord, the only way that's possible is if you speak to hearts and your Spirit is the teacher and the guide into all truth, and your Spirit has to help all of us begin to wrap our minds around this truth so that it can become something that impacts our daily life. And Lord, I'm desperate that you would do that today, and that, Lord, we would become true worshipers of you as a result of what we're hearing from your word today. And may it ring true in each one of our lives, and if there's one here today that doesn't know you truly as their Savior, make that truth clear to their heart. Draw them to salvation that they may come and trust you as their Savior today. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As Jesus and his disciples continued on in Jesus' ministry, the Bible tells us that he came upon a certain village. Now, in another gospel, we know where this village was. It was a village called Bethany. And there at this village of Bethany, there was a woman, probably she was a widow woman. Her husband had passed away, but she had her own house, and her name was Martha. And Martha is a common name for us that know the Scriptures. But Martha invited Jesus to come into her house. And while Jesus was there, Mary, Martha's sister, heard about Jesus being there, and she came to visit her sister's house, and she just came to sit and listen to what Jesus had to say. And in the midst of all this, don't miss this, Martha allowed herself to become so overoccupied with many things that she missed what Jesus called the one thing that was needful. So concerned with many passions that she missed the one thing that she should have been most passionate about. And Martha was in a position where she desperately needed to simplify her worship, to simplify her devotion in her life. And so from Martha's example in this well-known story, I believe there are four truths that you and I need to consider if we too are going to understand how to simplify our worship. And the first truth I want us to consider is this. I want you to consider the contrast here. There's a contrast in verses 38 through 40 that the Bible draws out for us. A very obvious one between Mary and Martha. Martha is the worker, and Mary is the worshiper. We see this contrast portrayed for us here in the Scripture. You know, typically, Martha is the one that we frown upon. Martha is the one that we say, well, she's the one with the issue here, and there's good reason for that, I suppose. But I want you to understand something very clearly this morning, and that is that both of these women's actions were commendable. Was it wrong that Martha was working and that she was passionate about that? The problem was not that she was working and that Mary was worshiping. The problem lied in the fact that Martha's heart was not a heart of worship to the Lord while she was working. See, Mary was able to sit before the Lord, and the reason she was sitting before the Lord was because she was worshiping him with her heart. The same thing could have been true about Martha serving. Martha could have been serving the Lord with all of her heart as an act of worship to the Lord, and then there'd be no issue in the Scripture here. But the issue lies in the fact that Martha was not living a life of worship to the Lord while Mary in that moment indeed was. Now, and this contrast is drawn out for us here in the Scripture, and I think that's important to state here because the Christian life is not either or. Okay? You're either going to be a worker or you're going to be a worshiper. That's not at all what the Scriptures are teaching here. God calls us to be balanced. Okay? So let's make it practical here. He said, I want to be more like Mary, and so I'm just going to come and sit on my blessed assurance every Sunday in my pew. That is not what the Scripture is saying here. Okay? You can worship the Lord just as much through work as you can through sitting at the feet of Jesus. The problem lies in the heart. And that's what we're going to see demonstrated from the Scripture here. And so the contrast here is not between being a worker or a worshiper. Rather, the contrast has to do with the heart behind your work and behind your worship. John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God desires for us to worship him from our hearts according to his truth. And there's supposed to be both work and worship involved in our act, in all of our act, acts that we conduct in our lifetime. And so both of those things are on an equal plane. Martha's actions could have been just as much an act of worship as Mary's, but Martha had lost her heart for the Lord in the midst of all her activity. And this is our tendency as well. We get so caught up in all of our different passions in life that we begin to neglect the one thing that should be the reason why we do everything. And that is our worship to the Lord. And so that's the issue. That's the contrast that we see displayed here. And so as we consider this contrast between Mary and Martha, it teaches us something about how to simplify our worship. In other words, how to get back to having this heart of worship. And I want you to see this contrast on display as we march through the verses here. Look at verse number 38 with me. And the first contrast we see here between Mary and Martha's heart is a contrast between duty and desire. Notice this with me. Verse 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words." Notice what the scripture just told us. The Bible says that Martha received Jesus while Mary heard Jesus. There's two distinctions there. In other words, Martha viewed Jesus as her guest. Mary viewed Jesus as her God. Martha invited Jesus into her home. Mary invited Jesus into her heart. You see the difference? Martha felt it her duty to serve Jesus. Mary felt a desire in her heart to be with Jesus. And the way that they related to Jesus was completely different. And when it comes to our worship, God wants us to worship Him because we want to, not because we have to or we feel commanded to. God wants us to desire Him. True worship is not something that is we're compelled to do it with a sense of duty. True worship comes from a genuine desire to have a relationship with the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 23 that whatsoever you do, do it heartily, or literally from your heart. With all your heart, as to the Lord and not to man. So listen, consider your singing today. If you can call it singing for some of you, all right? Yeah, ouch, no. Consider your singing today. Was it coming from your heart as to the Lord? Consider your service today. Oh, I don't want to go to church today. I have to serve as an usher. You just consider your service today. Was it from your heart as an act of worship to the Lord? That's what the Bible's talking about here. Is it a duty, your relationship to the Lord, or is it a delight? Is it something you desire in your life? There's a contrast that's being portrayed for us here. The second contrast we see is a contrast between distraction versus devotion. Now go on to verse number 40 with me here. The Bible says in verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Now notice the contrast here. The Bible says that Martha was cumbered about much serving while Mary left all the other things so she could be with Jesus. Mary forsook all the other things to be with Jesus, while Martha forsook Jesus to take care of all the other things. See the difference there? Martha was distracted by all she was doing for Christ, while Mary was devoted to simply being with Christ. Martha had allowed her passion for other things to keep her from Jesus, while Mary had allowed her passion for Jesus to keep her from other things. I tell you that Jesus desires for our worship to be worship towards Him that is focused and not frivolous. When's the last time you really focused on the words you were singing in a song to the Lord? When's the last time you had this kind of devotion, this kind of passion in your heart, and even working your job knowing that you were doing it for the Lord? That's an act of worship. That's what I'm talking about here today. But so often, we go about mindless activities in our life. We don't do anything that we do in our life for the Lord. And we come to church on Sunday, and we sing the songs, and we don't even think about what they mean, and we don't sing them to the Lord, and we call that worship. That is not worship. We're dropping the ball. We're not getting the point. And Jesus is trying to teach us something here. You only need one passion in your life. And he wants to be that one passion in your life. Mary was devoted in her worship to the Lord while Martha was distracted. And Jesus taught us, as I mentioned earlier, that we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He desires us to be focused, to be passionate towards him in our acts of worship towards him. And so often we're more like Martha. The Bible uses the word cumbered about describing Martha's actions. And that word cumbered about, it literally means to be distracted or to be too busy to really focus on the Lord. How many of you are there? A lot of times. Well, I wish I had time to walk with God, but boy, I got too much to do. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a big problem. That's where Martha was at, and that may be where you're at here today as well. We allow all the other stuff to keep us from Jesus, when what we should be doing is letting Jesus keep us from all the other stuff if necessary. You say, well, how's all the other stuff going to get done? I'll get to that in just a minute, okay? But I want you to understand, if you view Jesus as a distraction in your life from the things that you need to be doing, instead of being the one that you're totally devoted to, you've got a conflict in your relationship with the Lord, a conflict of worship. And you need to cut that conflict out so you can simplify your worship and start realizing one thing is needful. I need Jesus in my life above everything else and everyone else. And boy, we need to get a hold of this truth. Wearsby said, what we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. And so I ask you this morning, would you describe your worship to the Lord as being devoted or distracted? This morning, as the message is being preached, are you devoted or are you distracted? Are you attentive to what the Word of God has to say to your heart this morning? Or is your mind on your work, a football game, the pot roast that is cooking at your house right now? You say, stop bringing this stuff up, Pastor. You're distracting me. All right? I'm just asking honestly. I think that's what the Bible's trying to help us understand here. Another contrast we see demonstrated here is a contrast between doubt and dependence. Doubt and dependence. Verse number 40. Notice what Martha said. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Here's what happened. Martha's asking, Jesus, do you care? While Mary is resting in Jesus' care. Mary knew Jesus cared because she's sitting there listening to his words. Martha's so busy with all the other stuff, didn't have time for Jesus, and she wonders, do you care about me? See, this is what happens when we get off in our worship. We begin to question God. Our view of God gets torn down. We can actually get to the place where we start thinking, God, do you even care? I'm trying to do all this stuff. Do you even care? Meanwhile, God's sitting in heaven thinking, yeah, I really do care, and if you'd spend some time with me, I'd let you know that. There's a contrast between doubt and dependence. Let me move on to the next one because we're running out of time. The fourth contrast is a contrast between dominance and deference. The Bible tells us here, and I won't take the time to read it again, the Bible tells us here that Martha, in a huff, frustrated, she came to Jesus. Now, if you look up that phrase came to in the Greek, it's a Greek word that literally means to put yourself above someone else. In other words, she came to Jesus and she stood over Jesus and said, do you even care? I'm trying to get so much done in here. Will you make her help me, please? She puts herself over Jesus. Jesus is sitting down teaching and she comes and stands over him. That's literally the picture that's being conveyed in the scripture. So here's Martha putting herself over Jesus. And here's Mary, and guess what she's doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. See, one position is a position of, God, you need to take care of all of my stuff. I got too much going on. You need to do what I want, God. The other position is a position of, God, I'll do whatever you want. You tell me which one's a position of worship. See, if you want to dominate your relationship with God, you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping you. God says, I just want you to sit and listen. I'll take care of everything else. I just want you to be in a position of worship towards me. And so is your position towards the Lord a position of dominance or a position of humility, a position of deference? God desires us to worship him with humility and with surrender. And oh, how we need to understand this truth today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God wants you, listen to me, God wants you to present yourself to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm at your feet. I'll do what you want. I know that I can trust you. I know that as I give myself to you, you're going to help me take care of all the other stuff that's going on in my life. And so I'm going to stop trying to tell you what you should do for me, and I'm going to start listening to you to tell me what I should do for you. That's worship. You see the contrast? I wonder if you see the contrast in your heart. Because if there's a battle between these two different areas that we've talked about here today, you need to evaluate your own heart and realize that you need to simplify your worship. This contrast in any degree is going on in your heart. You need this message today, and I hope you'll listen to it. And so the first truth that we need to consider is the contrast. That leads us to the second truth we need to consider, and that is the correction. The correction. Look at verse 41. We'll be very brief with these last ones here, but the correction, verse 41, the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Jesus, after Martha comes to him in a huff, he turns to Mary, and he takes some time to correct her wrong thinking. By the way, that's what God does for people he cares about. Proverbs 3 says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Okay? Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. If God calls you out, if God convicts your heart, it's not because he's mad at you, it's not because he doesn't love you, it's because he does love you, and he wants what's best for you. You need to listen when God starts speaking to your heart. And when Jesus spoke to Martha, I think it's so interesting how he starts. He starts by saying her name twice, Martha, Martha. Now, we have taken that phrase and caricatured it, and we mock each other with it now, okay? But that's not how Jesus said it. Jesus said it because, number one, he cared about her. He knew her name. Okay? Other people that might have been in Jesus' positions might have said, what's your name again? And he said, Martha. He cared about her and he was concerned about her. Jesus could see that she was in a place that was not good. She was putting other things over her devotion to the Lord, and that was not going to be something good for her in the long run. And so Jesus speaks her name, and by the way, it's a blessing. When Jesus speaks your name. You've been reading the scriptures or maybe listening to a sermon like this and it's just like God speaking right to you. All right? Thence, yeah, I'm talking to you. All right? No, that's not God, that's me. But anyways, you know what I'm talking about. Boy, that's a blessing. God speaks right to your heart. That's a blessing. That's not something you should despise. I'm glad I have a God that will speak to me. I'm glad I have a God that cares enough to help point me in the right direction. And Jesus begins to correct Martha here. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. When Jesus tries to give you correction in your life, you got to understand that's a blessing. That's something that you should respond to when he begins to speak to your life. Jesus told Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Careful means she was anxious. And troubled means she was agitated. She was upset and she was just all in a huff about the stuff that was going on. The interesting thing about it is, none of the things that she thought were important. And the most important thing that she didn't even recognize was sitting right in front of her. The problem was she couldn't see that. And so Jesus spoke right through all of the stuff that was distracting her from what she should have been focused on and said, Martha, hello Martha, I'm right here. That stuff doesn't matter, okay? I'm here. And he went right to her heart. And I wonder if you need this correction today. You've been so focused on so many things that you've lost your passion for the Lord. And may the Holy Spirit of God speak right to your heart today and say, sir, ma'am, will you please stop worrying about that stuff and get your focus back on me. There is a contrast. The second truth we need to consider is the correction. The third truth we need to consider is the compliment. The Lord gives a compliment in this passage as well as a correction. In verse number 42, the Bible says, Jesus said, But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus had corrected Martha, and in the same breath, he commended or complimented Mary. Now, when Martha came to Jesus, Martha expected Jesus to find fault with Mary for not being more like her. But instead, the Bible tells us that Jesus actually found fault with Martha for not being more like Mary. And she was shocked by that. "Well, I'm the one that's serving. I'm the one that's doing all this stuff for you. She's just sitting there." She just didn't get it. She didn't get that that's where she really needed to be in her heart. And so Jesus is trying to reveal this to her. And so Jesus complimented Mary for taking time for what was most important. He told Martha, "One thing is needful or necessary." And out of all the things that was going on in her life, there was only one thing that was absolutely necessary. And Jesus commended Mary for taking time for that one thing above all other things. Do you want to know how to simplify your worship today? Listen to me on this. Live for the one thing. Live for the one thing that is necessary. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you concern yourself with any other passion in your life, put this one thing first. You say, "Well, Pastor, if I put the one thing first, if I put God first, then how is the food going to get on the table?" All right? If I just sit there like Mary's sitting there, then who's going to get the food ready? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to get the job done? Somebody has to work. We can't all be sitting around and sitting at the feet of Jesus all the time. And that's what we want to think when we look at a passage of Scripture like this. But let me tell you what Jesus had to say to this. It's in your notes, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. The Bible says, Jesus saying here, "Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Uh-oh, Martha. What shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles or the world seeks. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." Guess what? Martha's concerned about food. When she's sitting there in front, when the one that's sitting there in front of her is the man that took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people. Right? It's just ludicrous. It's crazy. She doesn't realize who she has in her presence. Jesus can more than take care of all the need. But she's concerning herself with all these things that she doesn't have to concern herself with. And we do the same thing. Here's what Jesus says to that, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You can mark it down. If you put Jesus in his proper place in your life, everything else will fall into place. He's going to take care of you. Make him your one passion, the object of your worship. Everything else will take care of itself. You can mark it down. That's a promise from God's word. Boy, I think about even what we talked about here with these things. When you make worshiping Jesus the most important thing in your life, what that enables you to do is then you can do everything else as an act of worship to the Lord. All right? You know, you could even watch football or play football or whatever your passion is. You can go hunting. You can play your instrument. You can sew. Somebody like to sew. I don't know what you like to do. Color, okay? But you can do it all as an act of worship to the Lord. You know, God loves me and God created me and God made me enjoy these kinds of things. And I'm going to do this as an act of worship. And you can praise the Lord as you do it. You can clean your house as an act of worship to the Lord. You say, "That ain't ever going to happen, Pastor." You can. All right? You can work your job. You can do anything. You can even watch television. And boy, if you would watch television as an act of worship to the Lord, it probably would change some of the way some of you watch your television, okay? You can do it all as an act of worship to the Lord. You get a hold of this truth that we're talking about here. Mary made the one thing, the most important thing in her life, and it affected every other area of her life as a result of that. And God, so Jesus complimented her for it. Listen, every time we see Mary of Bethany in the Scriptures, guess where she's at? She's at the feet of Jesus. You look up, you have the passage here in Luke 10 where she's at the feet of Jesus listening. You go to John chapter 11, not right now, but later in John chapter 11, we see she's at the feet of Jesus pleading for the life of her brother, Lazarus. You go to John chapter 12, and in John chapter 12, we see Mary of Bethany once again at the feet of Jesus, and what she's doing is offering an offering up to him. But every time we see Mary, everything that woman did was an act of worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And would to God that would be true of our lives here today as well. Everything to the glory of God. Everything to the worship of God. That's why the Bible, as I've quoted before, tells us, whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That's what the Lord wants from our life today. And by the way, you live a life of worship to the Lord, that's the type of life that you'll hear Jesus commend one day with a well done. Well done. You lived your life for my glory. You lived your life to please me. And you'll be greeted in heaven one day with a well done as a result of it. Make no mistake about it. So we see the contrast, and hopefully we've seen a contrast in our own hearts of worship. We see the correction Jesus gave. We see the compliment Jesus gave. But the final thing we'll need to see and will be done is the choice. Now, very quickly, just turn over to John chapter 12 with me if you would. I just want to mention this to you, and we'll be done. John chapter 12. Jesus gave Martha a pretty stern rebuke. What did she do after Jesus corrected her? I'll tell you what she didn't do. She didn't go back to the kitchen, okay? That's obviously not what she did. We'll see what she did in John chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, and then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, back to that small village, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, and been raised from the dead, and they made him a supper, and who we got here? Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Martha was still serving, but she was doing it for the right reasons now. She was serving as an act of worship to the Lord. It's a beautiful picture, this family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, brothers and sisters, all in different ways worshiping the Lord. See, God didn't tell Martha, you need to be more like Mary. You need to learn to worship like Mary. No, God created Martha in a very particular way. Martha actually enjoyed serving. She just needed to learn how to do it as an act of worship to the Lord. You know, not all of us will live the same type of life and do the same thing as an act of worship to the Lord. All of us have different gifts and different callings in our life. But for all of us, everything we do should be done as an act of worship to the Lord. Mary and Martha enjoyed serving. Mary enjoyed being there at the feet of Jesus, and she served in her own way. She's anointing his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. That's an act of service, make no mistake about it. Not one that I think many of us would be very prone to do either, by the way. But they're both serving in their own way. God didn't call them to be twins. God didn't call them to be identical. Jesus was just trying to teach them, learn how to serve me and worship me with the gifts and callings that I've given to you. That's the same thing he's trying to do for us, all right? And your job and your work and your marriage and your parenting and your hobbies, let it be an act of worship to the Lord. I'm glad Martha made the choice to respond to what Jesus was trying to teach her. But the question that I want to leave you with today is this. Are you going to make that choice? You felt the contrast in your heart. Your relationship towards God has become more about a duty, more about you making demands to get God for God to get on board with you. It's become more about these other things that aren't true acts of worship. You felt this contrast in your heart. The Lord Jesus, I hope, has corrected you for it today and told you this isn't right. You need to annihilate that thing that's taking your passion away from me, or you need to come and lay it on the altar. As Jesus has corrected you today, I hope you'll understand that you need to make the choice to do something with what he's speaking to your heart about. By the way, you make Jesus your one passion, you simplify your worship today, you'll one day hear the Lord Jesus say, well done. That same compliment he gave to Mary, you and I can hear that if we'll make our life about living for the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it be so in our life. Let's all bow our heads.